It's the HMB Sides, web-exclusive content available only on HMBRadio.com. Welcome back. Got Ray Roa sitting with me today.
What's up?
Well, let me turn your mic on.
What's up?
I was like waiting. I was like, is this going to be one of those songs where the intro is 4 minutes long?
The intro and is the outro, and it is the middle as well, yeah.
It's the whole thing. Yes. This is D'Angelo, Send It On. I always let the guests pick the intro song. This is a good one. It's amazing.
It's a great album.
The diversity that I get. Like, I had this dude, Rio Parison. He's a comedian, black guy.
Okay.
And I was like, what song do you want? And then he was like, Nirvana. So he picked some song, and I was like, that's weird, kind of. You don't see many black dudes listen to Nirvana, but hey, I dig it.
Hey, man. Yeah, people surprise you.
They do, and that's a good thing about humanity.
We're always surprising each other. I'm surprised every time I turn on the news, so...
It is hectic. And you can curse on this one if you want to.
Okay. No, I only had to hold my tongue a few times on the,
you did
the
great,
last segment.
Man.
So, yeah.
I had on, I always like to tell the story, I had Chris Fisher from, he's been on 97X for many years. He was doing the Fisher and Cage podcast. And I figured if I didn't have to tell anyone not to curse, it would be this old Wiley radio vet of 25 years.
Right.
That dude cursed more in 10 minutes than anyone ever. I've had comedians in here who curse up and down. Look, what are you doing, dude? I don't have a bleep button. I actually had to go in and edit that one. I was like, oh.
Yeah, that's rough.
It was tough. Were you doing a podcast for a while?
I did a show when I was at Hillsborough Community College, and I would put it online, but it was his pre-podcast days. So yeah, I'd put it online with the playlist and stuff like that, but I don't think I ever did a podcast. I've sat on numerous podcasts. I enjoy the podcast culture.
It's a weird one. I went to the pod, I forget what it was called, something podcast fest in Tampa.
PodCon 2016.
It's something like that. It was very strange. It was mostly older folks, too, which was amazing because I didn't know. But I think they went because they wanted to do something and they didn't know how.
Okay.
So they just wanted to be like, how do I do this type
right.
of thing. I was kind of hoping to get more out of it than I did.
Right.
I kind of felt like I just knew this stuff already.
Okay.
But I guess it was worthwhile. I know they're doing it in St. Pete this year.
Right on.
I want to try to be like a speaker at it or something.
Do it. Just tell them you want to speak.
Be like, yo,
see,
I'm going
to
do this.
Be connected, so just do it.
I'm just going to do this, guys, whether you want me to or not. Yeah, man, it's been podcasters are weird. But there's, and I notice it's definitely, I think I saw something on LinkedIn, and it's now like 15% of all online media that's consumed.
It's pretty cool.
Podcasts. And it seems cool. to be growing exponentially.
It means people are sitting down to listen to other people.
It's one of those things, too, just like newspapers. You can find specialized voices mm-hmm. that are custom to you, and you can cut out all the garbage.
Yeah.
Listen to, I don't even listen. I want to do radio. I don't listen to FM radio.
Right.
At all.
Right.
Everything's on my phone. I got the Pandora station if I want to listen to music.
Right.
It's totally customizable to me.
Uh-huh.
My podcast, I just listen. We got Bill Burr coming up at 3 o'clock. I
right.
can just listen to Bill Burr right now
right.
on his podcast.
Right.
I think that's a good thing, I guess. But then you kind of miss out on some other stuff that you might like.
Yeah, it's nice to get whacked in the head with something weird every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can do that when you try to, you know, curate the experience. But you can curate randomness into your experience anyway. You know, if you leave space for it, it will manifest itself.
That's true. You always stumble on
yeah,
something.
It'll always come around.
Or somebody will bring up something on a podcast you like, and then you're like, oh, I'll check that out.
Yeah, and then you're just going down the wormhole.
Same thing, then.
And
I just busted my own theory there.
5 a.m. and you're watching somebody give birth in the Amazon on YouTube, you know what I mean? Right after
I've gone pretty deep on YouTube. There's hours and hours of time that I just wasted.
Yeah, I've had a few of those nights.
So tell me about, what else can you tell me about? You said you had to give up some things, some work that you were doing.
Yeah, I mean, I was doing a lot of different things, and I was concerned because some of the quality was starting to suffer because of the volume. So the opportunity to kind of trim it down was one I was very excited to take. And it's bittersweet to let go of some things, but it's very exciting to go at one thing and see what can happen. So,
did you do a Bright House commercial?
I did.
What was that like? How did you get that thing?
I have my friend Ryan Zara. I don't know if you're familiar. He's a
filmmaker. I know of him, but I don't know him.
He did the St. Pete Beat videos a long time ago. He actually played in a basketball league with his dad played with my dad. It's a Filipino basketball league. Very
super competitive.
Very exclusive. No, not competitive. Just closed off. My wife always makes fun of me. She's like, I can't believe you have a league where you have to be Filipino and there can only be one import player per team. And they have to be
definitely
under
a black
feet
guy.
Tall. No, this is, there's a 6-foot limit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, black guys.
So
can't
that's
play.
How I know Ryan and an agency that he was working with or still does won a bid to do some Bright House spots. And I think it was really hard to find people who still had Bright House. So I happened to fall in there and they're like, hey, you want to do a commercial? And I was like, sure.
That's pretty
so,
cool.
Yeah, the spots ended up pretty cool. So, and
they did have, like, 5 of them, right?
Yeah, I think they're up to, like, 8 now.
Oh,
they
really?
Did, like, Sebastian Coolidge, James Harrell from The Storm, I think. This girl, Danielle Dominguez, me, Joshua Weaver, who owns Bandit, Coffee, Sebastian Coolidge. Did I say that one already?
Yep. Jerry X, I think, did one, too.
Yep, Jerry X did one. Yeah, they were great spots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. That Ryan guy, he's kind of a self-made dude, too. I like when people do stuff on their own.
Yeah. You know, definitely marches to the beat of his own drum.
Yeah. You know, started his own company.
Use an overused cliche.
And then just got his own stuff.
Yeah.
People don't want to do that anymore, man.
Why not? I mean,
I don't know. And I'm glad that people don't want to do it because it leaves opportunities for people like me to go and get it.
No, I'm with you. Yeah. I don't know.
It seems like
we seem to run with people that do it.
That's
true. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It seems like people just want jobs, they don't want to make their own job.
I think there is a segment of the population that's in that. I feel lucky to not have a lot of crazy obligations to anybody else other than myself and my wife and my dog. So I have a lot more freedom than other people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also a little crazy, and I like my mind to be stimulated all the time. So.
Do you feel like – I feel like entrepreneurs are frowned upon as looking as greedy.
I don't consider myself an entrepreneur. But are entrepreneurs greedy? I don't know. Maybe some. I think some people think they're entrepreneurs, and those might be the ones that are maybe tainting the spirit of the entrepreneurial spirit. You know,
I think
what I
they're
mean?
Looked at like Walmart, like because Sam Walton was an entrepreneur. He started
right.
his little store. They only look at these like huge booming successes,
right?
And then they look at that family like those people are terrible. They made all this money and they treat their employees terrible. And I think that's the narrative rather than looking at a guy who just. I started my own business, you know, I have a few employees. I'm not raking in the dough here. I'm just trying to create some jobs. And I don't know, though, because some of my friends say, no, that's not true at all. They're looked too highly upon.
I think people get so obsessed with this finished product of what something is. Like, what does an entrepreneur do? What does an entrepreneur, you know, achieve? And they forget to really value and look at, how does an entrepreneur feel? What is their motivation? What really is it deep down that pushes them or makes them do the things they do and not do the things they don't do?
Mm-hmm.
People forget about that. They get so caught up in, oh, this guy's got this many, you know, YouTube views and this guy's got this much money. And they just look at this end thing and they forget about the thing that got them there and they forget to ask those questions because they're
right.
always looking at this thing that they want in the end.
Yeah, get too far ahead of yourself.
Yeah,
you got to take one step
yeah.
at a time.
Yeah. Yeah, not even one step. I think people just, like you just said, like they want jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They want something.
They want security.
I don't even know what it is. They just don't. They want a thing. They want to possess something. It's like how we possess people. And
we
forget to appreciate them.
I think
know?
We got fed this story about you go to college, you're going to get a job.
Right.
And no, not necessarily.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I mean, if you get a stupid degree, you're not guaranteed
Dude,
a job.
It's rough.
If you're not getting a STEM degree, I don't even think you should go to college.
Hopefully that'll change soon because, you know, certain kids have some really great skills and sometimes college is not the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you should have a choice, but I think you should have an opportunity to make as much money as you possibly can if that's what you're into, using the skills that you have. And
but I got an English degree, right?
Right.
What am I going to do with an English degree?
Can you write?
Yeah.
Yeah. You like to read?
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes.
I don't know what the motivation was to get in. I mean, I didn't finish school, you know? I finished an associate's degree and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
I failed out of college the first time, you know? So, yeah, man, part of me wishes I would have got an English degree. Read some books, wrote some papers, and maybe went and got...
You want an English degree, Ray? Here's what you do.
Okay.
You go and get all the classics. Go to a website like top 10 old classics that you should read. Read those.
Okay.
You have an English degree.
There you go.
That's it. Read some Shakespeare.
And that sucks that like a lot of people leave the system and they feel a little bit confused and a little bit kind of chewed up and spit out. And
well, we were lied to. This is, you should, if you go to college, you go under the understanding that you are going to have a job and a career.
Right.
And no, it's these jobs don't exist.
Right.
You can be an English teacher if you want. That's about it, dude.
Right.
And, you know, you can write books.
Right.
But you got to do the work, self-publish, you know, get out there and do these things. So this doesn't come easy. You know, they got these really dumb degrees. I got, my friend is also an English major, and she, I almost brought her to tears because of this, because she's passionate about literature.
Right.
Great. I'm glad you are, but just go read the books.
Right.
You're not going to get a job.
Right. Well, I mean, I think, you know, maybe you can. I think maybe, and that's another thing, I think we're talking about jobs, you know, like, we forget to talk about, sure, we're going for jobs or whatever, but I think we're just trying to find meaning and propulsion for our daily lives. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you don't need to go to college for that.
Right.
I mean, you got to find, that's your own self-exploration.
Right.
Figuring out who you are and what you are.
Yeah, I don't know. I do meet a lot of people who are like, man, I wish I was doing something else, you know? But I think the acknowledgement that you wish you were doing something else is the only motivation you need to go do that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think if you know that you're unhappy, you have a very great opportunity to at least attempt to make yourself happy while you still can.
I feel bad for a friend of mine. She knew she wanted to be a lawyer. She was one of those, like, I know what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so jealous of those people.
Right.
So she went and did it. She got her law degree, started practicing law. I don't think I want to do this anymore.
What was her motivation for not wanting to do it?
She was doing, I think she wants to do, like, ACLU lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to do that. Now, you ain't going to make any money doing that.
Right.
And she's $100,000 in debt now because law school's expensive.
Right.
And she got into doing criminal defense, and it just beat her down.
Right.
Because she has to see these people that they're guilty. she knows they're guilty, you know, 90% of them.
Right.
But it's part of our, it's an important part of our judicial system to
public
have.
Public defenders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it just beat it out of her.
It's tough, man.
It sucks.
Because it's very human, visceral thing that you deal with every day.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody who is, and I'm making a lot of presumptions here, but likely to be self-sabotaging in a lot of ways, you know? And how do you, you know, it's tough, man. That's a person. Your friend's a person that has to stand up for another person in a system that's imperfect.
Yep.
And maybe doesn't necessarily, you know, work the way it was designed to.
So what she needs to do is be an entrepreneur and start her own firm and do civil liberties law.
Man, that's I'm sure
it's
that's
a big risk.
It's or she could run for office.
Run for office. Yeah. There you go. Career politician. We need more of those. These people never had a job in their entire lives, and they're just in government forever.
And it goes back to the other thing. I think there's just a lot of people that do their jobs not well. And it messes it up for everybody else. And I'm definitely scared to be somebody like that. So
same. And that's why I finally got up off my ass and started doing what I wanted to do.
Right.
Because knowing that, oh, I want to do radio, you can't get a radio job. It's impossible.
Yeah, but you can make a radio job.
You can make a radio job. Yeah. And then other opportunities, like you said, you started writing, and then this led to this.
Right.
So the important thing is finding what you like to do and do it. And you're not going to get paid for it. And then eventually, hopefully, it will turn into something.
Yeah.
I was talking to my dad the other day. He hates working for his company.
Okay.
So he started this metal recovery business where you go to, like, dentist office and you collect, like, they use a lot of precious metals in their work. And then you weigh it out and then you give them a cut. He is almost 60 and goes, I think I'm just going to quit and just focus all my time on this new business. I'm like, dude, you don't have any money. How are you going to live? I know it sucks, but you have to put in the time to build your business while you have income coming in. And then he was like, oh, yeah, you're right. But I was like, you have no savings. What are you going to do?
Right.
And I think people make that mistake, too, where they're just like, yeah, I'm just going to go 100% into what I love.
Right.
You can't do it. It's impossible.
Yeah, I'm definitely balancing with that. My wife is great at saving money, and I'm not so great. So she helps me out.
I can't. I don't have any money to save.
I don't have any either, but she's so good at it that she finds it.
Yeah.
So if I listened to her more in that sense, I'd be in a better place for sure.
Yeah, I'm single, so I'm just like living the single life right now.
Nothing wrong with that, man.
But the good thing is being busy and working on this side stuff,
right.
I don't go out. I go out and host the mics. That's right. The only thing I do.
Dude, that's what you got to do. You got to hustle.
Yep. Well, all right. Well, how much time did we do here?
Yeah, I probably got to go.
I don't know. That's good enough, right?
We good?
That's it. Thank you for coming in.
Dude, thanks for having me.
You got it, man.
And let me do extra time. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. This has been the HMB Sides on HMBRadio.com. Check out the site for James Bailey's My Mom's Favorite Podcast. Make sure you check out RadioSaintPete.com. Leave me a voicemail. Ooh, the sensual beat. 813-693-2124. I look forward to talking with you. Let's get that late night DJ voice on.
We're going to play a song for Will.
All these sexy ladies out there listening. Hello, Mom. That's
thinking
it.
About Michael Jordan crying in the corner.
That's the only lady listening. It's my dearest mother.
Hi, Mom.
All right, folks. Thank you for tuning in. I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye. I'm sitting there.